Welcome to Voices from the Street, the radio ministry of the Sacramento Union Gospel Mission. Prepare your heart for laughter and tears as we share the unpolished stories of the homeless and hurting, hope and transformation. Here's your host, Director of the Union Gospel Mission, Pastor Tim Lane.
Well, I am so happy you guys joined us today. I don't know if you were with us last week. I hope you were. You can always listen to some of these online if you need to. But last week I had Jeffrey Miles on there, on here. Jeffrey Miles is a man that came to us as, in his words, a broken man who had a family, kids and a wife that loved him, and he was had a good job. He had all those things throughout his life, but he also had a problem with alcohol and several other things that he was doing. And when he came to the mission, in his words, he was a broken man. The guys on the program, Victor, mistook him for a guy that was coming to serve with the church group because he didn't look like a guy they thought needed the program. But that just goes to show us you can be sincerely deceived by the outward appearance. You can look at somebody who may look homeless only to find out that they're not at all. And you can look at somebody who looks successful and find out how deep the brokenness goes. And so he came to the mission and he was not a believer. He may have thought he was, but he found out while he was here that there was something greatly lacking. And what was greatly lacking is a true walk with Jesus Christ. Many times when people talk to me about their walk, sometimes you can see how superficial it is. They claim the name of Jesus, but they really don't have any depth to their belief. You know, the Bible tells us that the chief end of man is really to glorify God. And it is true that the chief end of man is to glorify God. And so when we come to Christ, we need to realize what we're doing. What is the need for it? We as believers often confront people out on the street and say, you need Jesus. You need to come to Jesus. But what's that mean? You may understand what it means, but we need to articulate that to them. They need to clearly understand that the problem is that they were sinful from their birth. They've added to that sin all the way through their lifetimes, and that they have offended a holy God, and the sentence for doing that is death. And there is absolutely no way to work yourself out of that sentence. You cannot pay for it, no matter what you do. There was an old preacher, and I've talked about him before on the air, and his name was Mordecai Ham. I know it's kind of a funny name. But asked by a bunch of seminary students one time, almost in jest, well, what must I do to be saved? He said, nothing. It's too late. And then the refrain came back, but Mordecai, I mean it. What must I do to be saved? He said, I told you, nothing. It's too late. On the third refrain, he turned around to me, he says, son, I told you it's too late. You can't do anything because God has already done it. You can't pay the penalty because you don't have any righteousness of your own that you'd be able to pay the penalty that God has inflicted on us because of our sins. And so you are dead in your sins and your trespasses, made alive to hear God's word and to feel the draw that he does to accept that beautiful invitation by grace through faith, and this not of yourself. Even the faith that you have has been given to you by God. And so we say, well, how come it wasn't different? It was different in the Old Testament. It wasn't different. You were always saved by faith. Yes, there were rules and regulations, the teachers that showed us that nothing we could do, we could never live up to the law. And it says if you've transgressed the law in one area, you've transgressed the whole of the law. So if that's the truth, if I've transgressed the whole law by breaking one of the laws, then I have no hope. And you don't, outside of Jesus Christ. So now, what happens? How can that be changed? Only one way. Jesus paid the whole price himself by living a righteous, holy life, unblemished by sin, tempted in every way, so he can understand our frailties and all those things. And yet he never sinned. He was crucified for our sins. He died for our sins. And praise God, was raised brand new from the grave, so that never again does sin have to reign in our mortal bodies. You know, Abraham was, it says that Abraham believed God and it was attributed to him as righteousness. Well, you believe God. It also says that with the heart you believe and with the mouth you confess and you will be saved. So works is not part of that equation. Works, however, is the natural outpouring of a regenerate heart. And so now that answers the question, how do I become included in this? You come to Jesus. You accept his free gift of salvation that was only free to you. It cost him everything. And so we can never brag about how good we are. You didn't come to Jesus because you were smarter than the next guy, because you were more righteous than the next guy, because you had some special insight. You came because God called you. And when God calls you and you respond to Jesus, you believe in your heart, you confess with your mouth, you will be saved. Once you're in, and I know a lot of you out there don't agree with this, but I believe in the perseverance of the saints. I believe that when you are in Christ Jesus truly, you can never be put out of salvation. It's a one and done. But every true believer wants to grow in sanctification. So last week when we heard Jeffrey Miles about all this, you could hear the joy and the peace of salvation in his heart and mind. I saw it in his family. And so he just exudes the joy of his salvation. So having said all that, I have one other guy I'd like you guys to listen to. And once again, I'll come back in a minute and kind of talk to you guys for a few minutes. I know you'd rather hear them than me, but here's a clue. I'd rather hear them than me. So we'll let you hear them right now.
Hello, this is my mom right here. I didn't think I was gonna have her here for this. Anyway, I wrote a testimony, but I don't think I'm gonna be able to do it. This has been the hardest thing I've ever done in my life. I come out of here a new creation in God. I didn't only work hard, but that man worked hard. That man worked hard. And all you other men in here worked hard. And you're going to work even harder to get here. Amen. Just remember, with God, anything's possible. Amen. If I can do this, any of you guys can do this. Yes. And it's better on this side. Yes. Anyway, my name is Michael Matthews. I was born in England with my mom, my dad, and my brother. My dad was in the U.S. I can't do this.
It's all right. All right, Mike. Let's do this a little different than we've ever done one, okay? So, Matthew came here, and when you came here, what was your life like? Was it?
I came off the streets here after 12 years of being a meth addict. And my mom sat and worried for over a decade. Me out on the streets, not knowing what's going on. I ended up on a 72-hour hold over here in Mercy San Juan, where my mom goes all the time. And 2 days in, they came over to me. The lady came over and said, well, what are we going to do with you? I said, I need a faith-based program. Amen. And they put me out here thinking that I was in this program. Like all these other unfortunate people out here. They just get dumped off here thinking that they got it, that everything's fine again. Well, it's not. I went and grabbed that gate and it was locked. I waited till 9 o'clock and I saw that man right there. And I told him, I said, I need to get in the program. And he said, well, we don't have any room for you. It's probably going to be about 10 days. I said, well, I'll be right here. I'm going to put my face in front of your face every day until you put me in this program or you 86 me off this property. And that's exactly what I told him the first time I came in here. I was here for 4 months. I came from a burnt down home, living in my Jeep, finding out my daughter was a heroin addict, finding out my son's almost done with 9 years in the state penitentiary. And I left her up there and came back down here. I did 4 months in here and figured I had it all made. Went back out to the house that was burnt down with a fence around it and tried to replace all this with that and go to church when it was just someplace where sin could come back and get right back into going and have fun again doing what I shouldn't do. But God wouldn't let me. He convicted me the first couple of puffs off that pipe. And I went back there and I had to come back here. The very next morning I came back and I came to Rudolph. And he was working in the cage because they're low on men. And they hollered at me at the hallway there and said, yeah, come on. And I said, I need to get back in the program. All he did was reach his arms out to give me a hug and said, why'd you leave? I waited out there till Monday morning. Sunday I went in and saw Pastor Mooney and asked him, I want to get your blessing to come back in this program. And he said, well, the guys will take care of you. And I talked to him for a little bit and I left. And I went back out on the street. That Monday morning I came in here 10 months ago. And I saw Lou again and a couple of you other guys that were been Brian. So, and now I've done 10 months here. And it's 10 months for a reason, not 4 months. Because you got to finish what you start. Amen. And God wasn't finished in 4 months. He was finished in 10 months for me to start walking my new life. Amen. I'm going to the Redemption House with Jeremy and the other couple of the other guys. And I'm going to try to start my new life in Christ. I'm going to start my new life in Christ. I've got a house in Missouri waiting for me and some property. And if that's where God pulls me, that's where he pulls me. If not, I'll sell it. I'll go where God needs me to go. If God needs me to stay here, I'll stay here. If God needs me to go serve there, I'll go serve there. But this is the best thing I've ever done for myself.
That was Michael Matthews that you heard. Despite the fact when I walked up there, I called him Matthews. It's actually Michael Matthews. And the reason that I walked up there, as you heard, he really did not think he could make it through there. And so I walked up there to ask him the questions, and you could see that just that little brief moment, he was able to recover. And then I walked off and he finished the whole thing. Some of the things that you need to understand about him is he has struggled ever since an accident where he has had a brain surgery and he got reoccurring infections and things like that. But it also shows us that many times people come onto the program and they think after a few months, as he put it, that they've got it made, they've got it handled, they are clean, they're sober, and now they don't need to continue. I've always told guys, remember this, that we have a 10-month program for a reason. And we believe that it's going to take that. And a lot of guys say, yeah, but I haven't contributed to my family, you know, and I need to get out there, I need to work. And I'll ask them, okay, so how long's it been that you were not contributing, that you were out there? Oh, it's been 5 years and I haven't contributed. And I'll ask him, okay, well, so you can't stay a few more months here and make sure that you really are going to be able to handle this? And usually, not usually, but a lot of times they will say, well, I just need to do it. And they go out, and a few months later, they're back at the door because they couldn't handle it. So it's not that we want to be hard guys and make them stay at the mission for 10 months. It's that we know that if they don't complete the whole program, they're going to struggle with it. And so if you get to a point that you can come to a program and you can sign on a dotted line that I want to be here for 10 months, by the way, there's no penalties from us if you don't stay. You're not paying anything to come. You're living on the program. We're supplying your clothes and your food and all the things that you need, giving you a place to stay. But it's for you as a person addicted to drugs and alcohol, more importantly, addicted to sin itself. You know, people have asked me, well, Pastor, have you ever been addicted to anything? I assume they mean except coffee. And I've always told them, yeah, I was addicted to one of the most addictive things, and that was stupid. Because as a young man, most of us do some pretty stupid things, and I seem to do quite a few of those things. And even as a believer and as a pastor, I have never reached perfection, and guess what? I know some of you believe you can get to sinless perfection, but you're deluding yourself if you think so, because you can't. But again, like we talked about last week and in the beginning of this, Jesus came and paid the price for us and then imputed to us, that means given, he has given us his righteousness and cloaked us in it, so that we are not only forgiven our sins, but righteous in Christ Jesus. Not in and of ourselves. I just had a program guy that was a graduate ask me, well, if I'm righteous, how come I keep doing things? Well, you keep doing things because you are covered by Jesus' righteousness, but you yourself are not righteous. But that is how God looks at us. And so we are cloaked in Jesus' righteousness, and we are being perfected every day. We are walking in sanctification, hopefully becoming more like Christ-like, hour by hour, minute by minute, second by second. Some of us faster and some of us slower. In the end of all things, we don't have to be perfect to go to heaven. We need to be in Christ Jesus. And then we will hear the greatest of all things, come into your rest, my good and faithful servant, even though we know we have really never been faithful. And if you think you are, try driving through traffic when somebody cuts you off. Have somebody deny your own way and find out just how righteous you are, how forgiving you are, how kind you are. I've told you guys on air and other people, when I came to Christ, I thought I was going to have to quit driving. Of course, I'm just kidding, but traffic can certainly be a trial. And everyday life can be a trial. We live in a world that is sinful and of sinners, and of which Paul said he was the chief of sinners. Well, I can tell you that I've often felt like the chief of sinners. But I do know I'm forgiven, and my heart wants to follow God. My heart wants to glorify God. My heart wants to surrender to God. My heart wants to love those around me as God has told us to do. But in my sinfulness, in my humanity, I still stumble at times. And I've truthfully, and I'm not trying to disillusion anybody, I've never met a pastor who hasn't in some way stumbled. And I'm not talking about one of the big things, going out and committing adultery or doing something like that. I'm talking about in the everyday things, in the everyday little things of sinfulness, self-indulgence, gluttony, thinking about ourselves way before we think about God, and that's sin too. And so we continue doing these things, and yet hopefully every day a little bit closer, a little bit less of those things that are done. Sometimes we pout about the way we are, the things we don't have, what somebody else does and I didn't get. There's just a plethora of things that can take our mind and our eyes off of Christ, and we can forget that the work was done by Him, and that, yes, we want to continue to strive not to be saved, but because we are saved. I've told you before, and so here it comes again. When I've performed a wedding, I could very easily say, I have now pronounced you man and wife. Now go out and work out your marriage with fear and trembling. And so when the Bible says, go work out your salvation with fear and trembling, that's exactly how it is. It's not fear and trembling to work it out to gain it. It's you've got it. Now go live that life that is ever growing. Go work it out with fear and trembling, walking in the Lord, being more and more humble. And by the way, these are not things you have to sit and go, I've got to do this. The more you yield your heart to Christ, the more those things will just come as they are. When you see what Christ has done for you, how can you not have some humility? When you look around and see what God has done for you, starting with salvation, and after that, everything's a bonus. The suffering that Jesus did on the cross, you're not moved to be grateful? Well, if you're not, you should be. And if you're in Christ, you certainly should be seeing it every day. A friend of mine, Robert Briggs, and I were talking, and we were talking about how we need to be in the world but not of the world. And one of the illustrations that I used to give in sermons was the fact that a boat floats on a lake, and so it's on the water. But if the water becomes in it and it's in the completely submerged in the water, you're in big trouble. So you want to be on the lake, but you don't want to be in the lake. But in our case, you want to be in the world, but not of the world. This is not our home. We are sojourners here. These men that come to the program, this is what they find. They find housing. They find food. They find clothing. The people on the street find the same things. But when they come and they get on the program, if their hearts are yielding, if their knees get worn out from prayer and they read that Bible of theirs, which, by the way, is the inerrant word of the living God, then guess what happens? Then they start to grow in Christ because now they're in the world, but they're no longer of the world. They're the children of the Lord God Most High. Is that outside of your reach? It is not. If you feel and hear the call of God, then while it is still called today, this is the time of salvation. This is when you need to give your heart to Christ. This is when you need to yield body, mind, and spirit to Him. And really, in the end of things, people may think you've lost a lot, but really what you've lost is death and hell and emptiness. So as always, my dearest friends, until we meet again, may God hold you in the palm of His hand.
You've been listening to Voices from the Street, the radio ministry of the Sacramento Union Gospel Mission. If your heart's been touched and you want to know more about the work of the mission, log on to UGMSAC.com, UGMSAC.com. To donate clothing, food, time, or financial help, call 916-447-3268, 916-447-3268. Thank you so much for listening. Join us again next week at the same time for Voices from the Street.